Well, yank-a-doodle, Chris.
Oh, look who's back. It's Cowboy Martin.
And you know what? I don't think I've ever, and I feel really smug saying this, I don't think I've ever got over jet lag as quickly.
Oh, God, he's been, you know what, everybody? He's been so smug. That last thing he sent me about his amazing holiday, now it's the perfect time. And now he's saying he even got over the jet lag quickly. What a smug man.
I am. Sorry. I am.
Yes,
and do you know what? I return when there's massive, massive news to talk about as well in the world of Eurovision. So
well done. You did well.
Let's not spend any more time gassing. Let's get on with this edition of Nullpoix.
Nullpoix is shameful.
Nullpoix is lack of respect for Eurovision.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpoint is no fun.
Yes, welcome to Nullpoix, the Eurovision fan podcast. I'm Laura, that's Martin. We're back together in the UK. Not together, that is. I mean, we never record this together.
No.
What a silly idea that would be. Yes, as Martin says, we've got some huge news about Eurovision to talk about. The voting system has changed. We'll be going into all of that. We're also going to be speaking to Sam Ross from 12 Points from America, the podcast there. About her reaction to this as an American, and also getting your thoughts on it. First, a very quick thing, just, you know, maybe if you are based in the UK and listening to us and want to get involved with Eurovision in some way, the first plans for it taking place in Liverpool have kind of been announced, and Liverpool has kind of invited this idea of a major cultural festival that's going to take place alongside the song contest, which sounds great. They're asking for musicians and performers for ideas to take part in it. What do you make of this, Martin?
Well, you remember at the time there was a lot of thought about, well, why has Liverpool got the opportunity to host over Glasgow? Because everyone thought it's definitely going to be Glasgow. There's no way it's going to be Liverpool. We thought that, everyone thought that.
Yeah.
And one of the big thinking behind it was some of the things that they were planning to offer alongside. And there was a lot of talk about how they would involve the Ukrainian community in the putting on of the event, but also in the actual running of it as well. And I wonder whether this is one of the many things that they perhaps pitched as things that they could do to go alongside the Eurovision Song Contest, which maybe had impressed the people at the BBC who were making that final call as to who should host. It's really interesting to see, isn't it? And I think it's further cementing Eurovision as a proper cultural moment for whatever city happens to be hosting it. Great to see people outside of Eurovision getting involved in everything that Eurovision has to offer as well.
Yeah.
You know, the creators, the makers, the musicians, the performers, the artists, who are all going to be there. And it's there's a lot of bump here today in the press release about it, talking about how it's going to act as a platform for showcasing modern Ukraine as the, and I quote, ambitious, progressive country that it is. So that's just one way that Ukraine is becoming involved in what is its party.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth saying. So they basically, there's three categories they want artists and musicians to get involved in. One of them is UK and Ukraine, and that's looking to bring together Ukrainian and UK-based artists and producers to collaborate on projects. So it's not just musicians, it's art as well. It's all kinds of cultural things, installations I think they're interested in. So that's quite a cool idea, that anyone who's a Ukrainian artist can be brought together with a UK counterpart and they design something that presumably is going to be shown around the city. I think that's quite exciting. Another category is Music United, which says it will celebrate the power of music to bring communities together. And then finally, it's Eurovision in Liverpool. And the idea of that is about Eurovision taking place in Liverpool, obviously, and which could draw on the history of the contest or look to its future and all that kind of thing. So three categories. I think the UK and the Ukrainian one is the most interesting out of those and kind of the most defined. But I think, yeah, if this was something that Liverpool pitched as part of their plan, you can see why the EBU took them off on the offer.
The This is Null Poir, the Eurovision fan podcast, and still to come, going to be doing Flop That Euro Bop, where I think it's me this time. I'm going to sing really badly a good Eurovision song, but I'm going to sing it badly. I always make that mistake, and it sounds like I'm just slagging off Eurovision songs. I'm going to sing a Eurovision song, and you can decide whether it's good or bad, but I will sing it badly, and Kress just has to guess what it is. Right, let's get into the big news of this
week.
News. Everyone's been talking about it. Changes galore, changes to the voting system and how the whole kind of Eurovision votes are going to be running. Kress, do your best to try and explain what on earth is going on here.
Yes, so here are the three big changes. The first one is that viewer votes now will solely decide the countries qualifying from the semi-finals. So there will be no jury vote combined with public vote in the semi-finals, and that's been happening since 2009. It will just be the public vote that decides. The second huge change is that viewers in non-participating countries will be able to vote online. Now, we'll pick this apart in a moment, but that basically means you don't have to be a country participating in Eurovision to vote anymore. And then they say jury votes will be combined with votes from the global audience to decide final results. So the jury will still take a part in the final, just not the semi-final. And those are the changes.
And what are you thinking of that so far then?
Well, so I think anyone who's a kind of a Eurovision fan in some aspect will be thinking the reason they did this with the semi-finals is because of that news of the irregular voting patterns from six countries from this year in Eurovision. You remember we covered this quite a lot when it came out, that six countries, according to the EBU, were identified as voting irregularly. There was irregular voting patterns. It was Azerbaijan, Georgia, Montenegro, Poland, Romania, and San Marino. And I feel like because of this and because of the issues that EBU has had in the past with irregular voting patterns with juries, basically juries deciding they'll vote a certain way with other countries, you know, pre-deciding that. This is why they've done that and decided only the televote will do that. I wonder if the idea to make it global is because it does look like the EBU is looking to make Eurovision a global thing. We've had Eurovision America. They're looking at Eurovision Canada and Latin America. So why not let those countries vote in the OG Eurovision and kind of get them used to the idea, and then they can sell this as a franchise more. So I think that could be why they're doing it and opening it up. Do I think it's a good idea? I think it's an interesting one. I think the semi-finals idea could be a good one in the fact that, you know, juries, you know, we don't want these kind of ideas of juries cheating and that kind of thing. But as some people have brought about, it's possible that people could still cheat on the televote. You know, I don't think that necessarily takes away fraud, but I find that they had to do something to do with juries, so that's fine. Does it mean that some songs that we enjoy as part of Eurovision won't get through to the finals? It's possible. The global voting thing is extremely interesting. I'll ask Martin, you for your thoughts on that first, and then I'll come back with mine.
Yeah, global voting, I don't know. I think what makes it more palatable is the fact that it's everyone from the rest of the world, and it counts as one country. And I mean, yes, there are already like kind of 44 or 45, whatever it is, countries who are voting. So it's not going to make a huge amount of difference to the overall result, which I think is probably good. It does involve people from the rest of the world in it. That's probably a good thing. My concern is a little bit that, does it sort of dilute the Europeaness of it? And I don't necessarily know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm just thinking maybe it is a thing that could be one of the things that happens as a result of this. But maybe that's good. Maybe that's where the contest needs to go to involve more people. And the fact is, like, we live in a world where the internet is at our fingertips and people from around the world do like it. So why not just kind of acknowledge that? I don't know. I think I'm in two minds about it. My initial reaction as somebody who is a man of great tradition and likes things to be done the same all the time is to go, oh, no, we don't like that. But actually, the more I think about it, maybe it's okay. Maybe this isn't just like, you know, as bad as some people who want things to never change would have it. Maybe that maybe there's room for it in the contest. And I think there probably is. As for the other thing, yeah, I don't care. Fine.
Okay.
It seems like a good idea and a good way round the earlier problems.
It's worth saying, just breaking down how this global vote is going to happen. So basically, those watching in the rest of the world, they will vote, but with the EBU saying, via a secure online platform using a credit card from their country, and their votes added together will be converted into points that will have the same weight as one participating country. And that's in both the semifinals and the grand final. So they'll go to the global vote. And that will be as if the rest of the world was one participating country. Very, very interesting. I think I'm with you, Martin. I wait to see what it'll be like in practice. I don't really agree that just because it's people outside of Europe that they don't get what's going on, because I'm guessing the people who would be watching it are probably Eurovision fans anyway. So I kind of feel like they probably do understand it. But, you know, how it will work in practice, I'm very interested to see.
Yeah, your thoughts, as always, very much wanted, and how you can get in touch coming up at the end of the podcast.
Right. Now, we thought we had to get someone on to discuss this news who this is actually going to affect. And who else could we think of but the lovely Samantha Ross, who we've spoken to many times before, who obviously has many Eurovision hats, but one of those is the 12 Points from America podcast. Lots of other things she does to do with Eurovision. But Sam, you are based in America, so this is going to affect you. This is going to be the first time you can, from America, I guess. I don't know, maybe you will be in Eurovision anyway, but you'd be able to vote in your home. Well, how do you feel about that?
I'm thrilled. I mean, personal bias, like I'm happy to see this step of inclusion towards the fans from outside of Europe and Australia, the folks who are from non-participating countries. You know, obviously the contest is growing, it is expanding, and the fan base is growing and expanding with it. And to really take a nod towards all those fans that are really finally having a chance to get engaged without having to get a SIM card, it makes a huge, it's a lovely gesture, even though it's, you know, a small part. I'm thrilled to see it, and I'm really, really happy to actually have an active part in the process instead of just, you know, writing for the website like I normally do.
Sam, this is all kind of well and good as far as you're concerned, but I'm going to put the devil's advocate position to
Please.
You now, which is it's the Eurovision Song Contest, isn't it? Well, you can't have people outside of Europe taking part. We've already got Australia who are getting involved. Now we've got all these other countries that are getting a say as well. Is this not, and this is the devil's advocate position, isn't it? Is this not taking it away from what the contest was meant to be, which was all about promoting kind of peace and unity across Europe? When you're getting the whole world involved, does it not dilute that a bit?
Honestly, if we're talking about what the contest was originally meant for, it was not just promoting peace and unity in Europe. It was to share technological advances amongst a group of broadcasters. This is well within the spirit, in my personal opinion. And again, you've mentioned Australia. You've mentioned, you know, we have countries that participate or have participated at the contest that are not strictly, quote unquote, European. You know, we have Israel. We've had Morocco that one year. We have Kazakhstan, Junior Eurovision. And also, Junior Eurovision has already incorporated a global voting system. Like, we've been able to vote at Junior Eurovision for a couple of years now, and it's worked out pretty swimmingly with no major hiccups. This not only creates the fandom globally, also it also throws a bone to those Europeans who are not participating members.
Mm,
you know, we look at that large swath of countries that just bowed out. You know, Bulgaria, North Macedonia, and Montenegro that we're going to be losing this year, and that gives viewers there a chance to stay engaged. And you can't turn your nose up at that. I totally get where people are coming from. I've also seen the naysayers somehow thinking that we're all going to vote in one specific way, that somehow because we're opening votes up to South America that everybody's going to be voting for Spain. That's not really how this works. I hope they don't realize that people outside of Europe are not a big monolithic culture.
Yeah.
Just as people from outside of Europe don't look at Europe and say, oh, that's one monolithic culture. I hope the lessons learned from Eurovision expand to a greater global audience as well. I'm not going to vote the same way as a Chilean or a New Zealander or somebody from Montenegro.
What are your thoughts on the fact that there's going to be no juries in the semifinals? It's literally just going to be the public vote.
It's very interesting. I think you can see the lines that were drawn in the sand after the events of this past year's jury. How do you want to put it? Specific malfeasance?
That's good.
That's a good one.
General shady behavior amongst a small group.
That's easier to spell.
Malfeasance. That's a good spelling bee word. Yeah. I love the juries. My personal alliances tend to be towards a lot of the songs that juries love and that the larger audiences do tend to ignore. So I am slightly sad at the possibility of losing some of those favorites, you know, like a Hoover Phonic, for example, would be an example of a great song that I personally love that got more jury love than public televote love. But if we are trying to find a way to tamp down on any of that jury malfeasance, this is just an experimental way of saying, hey, let's put the power in the hands of the people instead of a group of five. If this doesn't work, they can always change the system up in 2024. Who knows? But for now, the fact that they're trying anything, if it's all for the people and it's all for the viewership, I'm okay with it.
Couple of issues then that people are reacting to, as you might imagine, online, what we were just talking about, and then obviously the inclusion of global voting. And I just wanted to bring you just to like a snapshot, really, of what some people have been saying. You can give your reaction to this if you fancy. Sonny says, happy to scrap jury voting in the semis, mean the public get the most entertaining final possible, then juries come in and help decide the winner. Global voting, says Sonny, is a big no. Fun meme songs will struggle with Americans and the likes who don't understand the contest remotely. Pink Flamingo says, oh, after all these years, I've been listening and watching in South Africa since I was 9. I can't wait to participate in the voting. Fantastic news. And let me bring you one more. This is from Baddy Stan, who says, say goodbye to songs like Growing Up Is Getting Old. And a like ballads will never qualify for the final now. Great job, EBU. I think that's some sarcasm there. So a kind of mixed bag there, really. Some of those points you might want to respond to, Sam, just, or you might have some thoughts on yourself.
I think Sam definitely had some thoughts on the first one.
Yeah, seriously. The idea that Americans or again, not all voters taking part in this are Americans. There are people literally all over the world who are going to be taking part, and people will respond to different songs in different ways. You're not going to assume that all American voters are going to vote for the thing that is closest to the common Lynettes. We're not monolithic. Second, you think that we don't love a good memeable moment? Are you kidding? I mean, Epic Sax Guy is perfectly referenceable here in the United States. When we had the American Song Contest, one of the biggest commercial successes was New Boot Goofin'.
Oh, God, yeah.
If you don't know the song, take a moment and enlighten yourself on the glory that is Wyoming's New Boot Goofin'. And tell me that we don't appreciate a memeable moment. Come on. Come on. All right.
It's all right, Sam. It's okay. I could see you were getting riled up at that one. I think I'm kind of with you then. And all we can say is it's going to be interesting, isn't it? I think that's what we could say. It's definitely going to be a different kind of Eurovision. And maybe that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the contest, in order to remain as cutting edge and as relevant as it has been for over 60 years, it needs to grow and it needs to change and it needs to test new systems out. I mean, the same people who are screaming that this is going to somehow ruin the contest are probably the same folks who are saying, oh, losing the orchestra is going to kill the contest. It hasn't. It's just an evolution of what has been necessary at that specific time. Yeah, if it doesn't work, they change it back. It's okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Samantha Ross, co-creator of 12 Points from America as well, contributes to ESC Insight, general Eurovision bod, and look forward to seeing you again. No doubt. Do you think you'll be coming to the UK next year?
That's the hope. Yeah. You know, assuming that I don't mess things up at junior Eurovision that I'm heading to in a couple of days, hopefully Liverpool is on the horizon for me.
Good stuff. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
All right, Cressy, are you ready for a bit of this?
flap. We'll flappity flappity flap. We'll flappity flappity flap. We'll flappity flappity flap that Eurobop.
And as you probably know by now, this is Flop That Eurobop, and this is where Martin or I sing a good or bad Eurovision song, but we sing it badly, and you've got to guess what we are singing. We haven't had the best track record on this, I'll be honest, but let's see what we can do now with Martin. Martin, it's your turn, so take it away.
Really easy one for you now, Chris.
Oh, I hate it when you say this. Why do you always say this? And then I don't know what they are.
What I'm going for here is more of a vibe than the actual song. So just...
No.
You'll get it. You'll get it. Just from...
I won't. Don't say I will.
You'll get it from the vibe.
I won't.
You get it from the vibe. Here we go. Ready?
I won't.
Ready?
That's the vibe.
Oh, okay. So that isn't the song. So you've not even... I think I know what it is.
Yeah, see, you think you know what it is.
But I'm just clarifying. I mean, can I say what I think it is? First of all, we should say, if you know what that is, literally from Marta doing that, and I think actually you're right, it is quite easy. But if you do know what it is, right now, send us your thoughts, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com or @poirnull on Twitter. Send right now what you think it is. I'm now going to say... what I think it is, and I think it is right. It's Lordy Hard Rock Hallelujah. Yeah?
Yes, it's Lordy Yay! Hard Rock Hallelujah. Here's how it should have sounded. Hard Rock Hallelujah. Hard Rock Hallelujah. Yeah, Hard Rock Hallelujah.
Yeah.
From Lordy.
Fair enough.
That was all right. Well, it was a vibe.
Yeah,
it was a vibe that
was
happening there.
That was a pretty easy one. Yeah, fair enough. For a second, I thought you were singing War, What Is It Good For? I was like, okay. Yeah. I don't remember that being a Eurovision
song. I think that's a vibe as well. Anyway, there we go. Nice, short, and potentially easy one there on that edition of...
Stop That Eurobop.
So, of course, you've been getting in touch with us a lot over the past few days about your thoughts on these big voting changes. And you can keep doing so on Twitter. We are at @poirnull. Blue Zone, for their reaction, said, "I'm excited. It'd be interesting to get an outsider's perspective. Also, fans in recently withdrawn countries, but probably not Russia or Belarus, have to be approved by the referencing group, by the ref group, can get involved again. No juries in semi-finals is not what I would have done, but I don't think it'll hurt." And that is an interesting point, really, by Blue Zone. It sounds, I don't know if I've got clarification about whether fans, you know, from Russia and Belarus will be included. I guess because they're suspended, no. But that will be interesting to see what they do with that. I guess the EBU will have some measures in place to decide who does and doesn't get to vote.
That's a really good point, actually. Mm. A really good point. You do wonder whether, because there's a few countries that are sort of not friends of the EBU, but maybe they can't tell and they're just going to sort of combine anyone who isn't the countries that are actually on the bill. It's just sort of an everyone else category.
Yeah,
and maybe Russia might be included in that. We just don't know. Richard Robertson has got in touch as well. Thank you, Richard. Viewers in non-participating countries. Does that mean if anyone in the world wants to vote by phone or text, etc., they can? I guess it's online. You probably can't phone and text, but you can do it online. But yeah, that's the idea, Richard. Your thoughts, as I mentioned, very, very much wanted on this. We've had a few already, as we just mentioned, but loads more would be great, and we can go over them next time. And Cress will have those details in just a second. You might want to give your views on Patreon, because that is up and running. Thank you so much if you've already given us a quid or maybe £3 a month to just carry on doing what we're doing. It is much, much appreciated.
Yes, thank you very much, Richard, who is a loyal Patreon supporter there. So thank you, Richard, as well. Thank you for everyone who has been supporting us. Literally, it's just a quid, and it means you do get the episodes at least 24 hours earlier. It's often more than 24 hours. And we throw some little bonus things in if we've got extra audio or interviews in there as well. I think you can also support us a little bit more if you want to be an extremely loyal supporter. And it's just patreon.com/nullpoir.
Couldn't be easier than that. Right, we are done for this edition. A lot there to digest and to talk about. So have a little think, get some thoughts on it, and we shall reconvene next week and go through some more of the fallout. But until then, thank you very much for listening to this particular edition of...
Nullpoir!